Come on. He's a... Yes, absolutely. While we do that, Brother Tony, would you hand this thing out, some of these out? If you find some misspelling, if you find some any grammar issues, just take it up with HR, okay? All week I hadn't planned to do this, but I was like, you know, there's a lot of scriptures. I'm just following in my dad's footsteps here, so I just figured just go ahead and... I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I really am playing. So we had a... But I wanted to go ahead and print out some verses because I do have a good amount that I want us to just follow along with me on this. I've got a... What a sweet time. Yeah, sorry. On my notes, I've got red for my scriptures. That way it stands out from my other... I deleted all my actual notes because of the grammar aspect of it. So... I didn't want Roy back there making fun of me, okay? And then my dad would just be like, oh, Lord, you should have let me proofread it. So I just deleted all of them, okay, because I can read my Spanish, okay? All right, so, man, we had a sweet time Sunday night, didn't we? I'm telling you, it was a wonderful time. Miss North and Tony, I loved it. You guys were up there and jumped in with singing. What a beautiful presence of the Lord. Wow. I'm telling you, really enjoyed it and enjoy the heart of Texas House of Prayer, the fellowship, the we're the body of Christ. It's the way it should be. We're connected, and every time we come together, it's like everybody gives bear hugs. You know, it's incredible, beautiful presence of the Lord and a beautiful word too. All right, so a few announcements with Bible reading. I don't know if you've been reading and following along with the 3 and 5, and it could just be I could be doing it. Don't care, just me. I don't mind it. But we're in Genesis 34 right now. We started in the New Testament, and we got through that, and we're going into the Old Testament now in Genesis. And you know, I don't with this one because of I'm diving into this other Bible study. I don't spend a lot of time in the Word as far as in my house reading this. I listen to it. And I'm having the Word of God just wash over me. There's a ringing. Can y'all hear that ringing? It is driving me kind of nuts. Can you work on that one, Brother North? Our sound tech, our high-end professional man of God back there. Glory to God. You should see us. I mean, I know y'all do. Before everybody gets here, me and him are frantically trying to figure out what problem has come around this time around on Sundays, because it's always something different, and both of us have the same consensus that we just hate computers, because there's just always something back there. So we love you, Brother North, for all the help you do and holding down the fort back there. We're going to do, I've got one more Wednesday night with this series, and then the 12th, I'll be preaching Sunday, and I'll be wrapping this thing up. And so we're just going to do two more sessions in this John chapter 15, the greatest connection ever. And then I want us to, I've been praying about what book to go to, and I'm 99.9% sure this is the direction I'm feeling we're supposed to go, is going into Acts. I believe we've been in the Gospels already. We've been hearing about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's see what happened with the results of it, okay? I want us to dive into that with everything. And so I'm looking at trying to do a sign-up sheet for every... I want everybody involved with this one again. I want us all to take different chapters to dive in and help explain and talk about the different chapters in there. This time we're going to have a little bit different. I want to have a sign-up sheet so we have that thing full. This will take us most of the year going in through Acts, okay? Unless the Lord completely changes it between now and the 15th. Right now, we're planning to kick it off on the 15th, diving into Acts. I want to hear and dive in. I've read through Acts many times. I've taken a class on Acts. I've read books on Acts, but I feel like I've just still scratched the surface. And so I want us to dive into that and really see Paul's journeys going into the Holy Ghost coming down. Come on. Hear about Stephen and all kinds of beautiful, amazing moments through the Acts. And so I want us to take a deep dive there. And then what I'm going to do is kind of have a little bit more of a criteria of what kind of goals that to, for everyone to have when you're talking through the chapter, kind of that way to help us keep on track and staying in track of what's going on in the storyline and what's happening in the book. So we can all kind of stay, help it flow in that. But I want everybody to be involved with that. If you have ever been interested in speaking and trying to step out in this a little bit, this will be a beautiful opportunity to do that. I want our leadership involved in this. I want everybody involved. This is a long journey through Acts, especially when we're doing it just on Wednesday nights, okay? Definitely would love anybody and everybody to be involved in this and opening this up. Let me see if I had... Let's look. Yep, that's what I had to share. Okay, let's get into what God has for us tonight. John chapter 15, I want to read through this and I'm going to pray over it. I'm going to read through 1 through 8 again. I don't have all of them, all the verses actually on this paper. I just have the one that we're going to dive into tonight. Again, we're not going in verse to verse with this. I only have two more sessions that I want to dive into this and then we're going to move in to Acts. But I want to read through verse 1 through 8 again to get the whole picture of what's happening. Verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Come on, we heard about the I am last Sunday. Come on, he fills us with hope, love, joy. Come on, that's our source of life. Come on, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And today I want us to dive into that second verse. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for what you are doing. I am so grateful for who you are, God. Thank you that for what you did on the cross, that you bore all our shame and all our guilt and all our sins on that cross, Father. Thank you so much for that. We can't, that seems so light and not even nowhere near enough to say it, but that's all we got, God. Thank you for that, Lord. You're so beautiful. We're so grateful for that. Father, this is a beautiful week that we are celebrating your resurrection. And man, what you did coming off that cross and coming out of that grave. Come on, thank you, Lord. We're so grateful. God, as we dive into this tonight, Father, I pray you speak to our hearts. I pray it challenges us and cultivates us, encourages us and strengthens us. Lord, like your word truly does, God, it fulfills, it brings hope. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, there's a lot of theological beliefs in this, and I'm not going to go too deep in this right here because there's a lot of different variables here. But the bottom line is, it says that if you're not bearing fruit, he's going to take away. Okay? He's going to be purging. He's going to be taken away. That's it. Okay? It says if you have to bear fruit. There are so many folks that go to church and say, I'm a Christian, but have no fruit in their lives. Okay? We've met them. We've seen them. Okay? They're just kind of walking the walk and talking the talk. They're not even doing it. They're just going through the motions, okay? And you talk to them and you find that they're bitter, they're angry, but they're coming to church and they're playing the game. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. But he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You know, that is a very firm text there. And you could go in depth in there on this thing with taking away, and it's not where God is wanting me to land today, so I'm not going there. But I want to tell you something. That's a scary place to be. And our job is to bear fruit onto people that are just like that and love on those folks and encourage those folks. Danny had a meeting today with a customer that you could kind of say he's in that rate. He just kind of goes to church, just as kind of going through the motions. One of the things in the screw tape letters that I've been talking about reading, encouraging you to read, is he talks about people going to church. It's okay. He says, it's okay, Wormwood, that the people going to church, it's fine. It's when they start connecting and start hearing the pastor really, when they start seeing the thing changing changing in their lives, that's when you need to be worried. But if they're just coming to church, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. You know, one of the scariest things that has happened to me in my life, it was truly scary, is when I felt like I got left behind. You know, it was scary. Let me tell you something. I'll never forget it. I was young. I was really young, Miss North. This is when we lived in the townhomes. Okay? I was Avery's age. I remember this. Okay? I woke up and Mom and Dad were not in the apartment. Brothers were not in the they were not in the tunnel. They were not there. And I was like, you know, I'm born and raised, you know, turn or burn, right? I mean, that's you if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. Period. That's it. You know, and I knew about heaven and I knew about hell. I heard about it a lot. And I knew about Jesus coming back. And so I got up that morning and, man, my parents weren't in the house. I went to their room. And now I look back and I'm going to say, that's just some bad parenting. But I'm not going to say all that. I ain't trying to be all right, but that's okay. Leaving your son in the house by himself. Little boy. Okay, anyways. All right, I forgive you, Dad. It's okay. And so I get up and I'm like, where are they at? And I go outside. I'm looking. The van is there. The cars are there. Jesus done came. I've been left behind. I'm crying now. And I walk around, I'm walking out this, I remember it, boy. I walk around the corner. Them suckers are all at a garage sale. Out of line. Out of leaving you. Okay, anyways. But listen, we have to be bearing fruit. When we're in Christ and we're connected to the vine, we're going to bear fruit. Okay? We're going to bear fruit. We got to regroup now. All right, but to those who are connected, come on, and are chasing and are hungry, come on, we got some hungry folks in this place. Amen. That I know chasing God up in this house. Amen. That are hungry for God and they want to bear fruit. Come on, I love it. You know, it says this, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Come on. He prunes. Yo, Miss Margaret, don't tell this, okay? Don't give it away. I'm going to let everybody in. What's a prayer that you just really don't pray? What's a prayer that you just don't pray? Well, that's... You don't... I'm going to tell you something. You don't pray for patience. No. Mm-mm. Why do we not pray for patience, y'all?
We need wisdom.
Yeah, but why would we not pray for patience? Because it's going to start testing you. He goes, okay, I'm going to give you patience. He's gonna put you in some traffic. Gonna have to deal with all kinds of stuff at work. Yep. God, give me patience. Because I'm gonna take this wheel and smack somebody upside the head. You're gonna have to take it, Lord. Take this wheel. That's why you don't pray for patience. I'm serious. But that's exactly it. Why? Is because, well, we're gonna get tested in that. Romans 5, 3 and 4 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Come on. You know, we did the series a long time, many, many years ago, about working out our faith with fear and trembling. And we talked about how what happens when you work out with our muscles, when you're working out and lifting weights, you're literally tearing your muscles down. You're breaking your muscles down. And man, can it get painful. But you're doing that, why? To strengthen yourself. Okay, so because those muscles are going to get back and grow back stronger. They're going to grow back bigger, right? So that's why when you're working out, when you're pushing your muscles, it's the same concept, okay? God's going to put us through some things, okay? He's going to tear some things down. That's the pruning part. It ain't fun, and it is painful sometimes. But it's for our benefit. It's for us to grow. Amen. He loves us so much that he's not going to let us stay in the same spot. Come on, he prunes us. He knows some things that Miss North needs to work on. So he's going to work on those areas. He knows some things that Brother Charlie needs to work on. So he's going to work in those areas. Come on. That's what he does. We had somebody in the church that hated this song. And they were very boisterous over it. It's a Matt Redman song, Blessed Be Your Name. It was a wonderful song. I love the song. But the chorus part, or one of the verses says, he gives and takes away. And people don't like that. But have you read your Bible? Job 121. Job 121. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He also allows things to happen in our lives. In Job, I love it. It wasn't the fact that the enemy just started tempting and doing things to Job. God says, what about my guy over here? He suggested it. Job 1:8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? Wow. You know, God does allow things to happen in our lives for so many reasons. I think about this, and I think about my work. Miss Kay, she's gone on to be with the Lord. She was the founder of Texas Sand and Gravel, and she had this huge job running USGA sand up in Amarillo. And she'd bid on it. And she had done a few smaller projects up there, and there was a big project, thousands of tons of sand that was going to go to this golf course. And she had bid it, she had expected it to come, and it was going to be really breakthrough for our company. It was early on, it's going to be a very good, solid job. Well, something happened, and the job was given to somebody else. And Miss Kay came in, and she was not devastated, but she was upset. But here's what I remember. She said this. She goes, I don't know why, but God has a plan. And I trust him. Well, come to find out, that job ended up being horrible because the place that everybody gets the sand out there started having all kinds of problems with that sand. So the company that was contracted for everything got into major problems and major contractual issues because of that. So it saved us a whole lot of problems. God protected us. He took away that job, guys. He said, I don't want you to have that. Even though we had all the everything lined up, we had been working in that company, we had the connections in that company, we had the friendships with that company, we knew our pricing was good, and yet somebody else, God took that away from us. Why? To protect us. But the big dollar amount, oh my gosh. I remember, and I shared it with this Wednesday nights a couple years back. We had I had one of the biggest jobs in front of me when I just moved into outside sales. It was about $500,000 job, but our markup, our percentage was pretty low. But I was like, I was excited about having it. It was going to be a good opportunity to really show what we can do as Texas Sand and Gravel. That was my mindset. And we're going to show up for this company so that we can get a lot more work out of it. Okay, so we're going to make a little lower percentage on this, but it's going to be really good because we're going to be able to get more stuff, okay? Well, come to find out, that guy ended up cutting us out, going behind our back and getting one of the guys that we were running with, that we were using out there, and cut us out to save 50 cents a ton. Job was tight, and we'll come to find out. And I was pretty devastated over that. It was one of a big job for me at the time. It was something, it was impactful to me. I've been working on it for a year trying to get to that, and then all of a sudden it gets snug from me. Thank God. I talked to one of our other drivers that we run all the time that is very connected to this contractor, and she calls me. She goes, "Oh, Brandon, it's so bad. It's so bad." See, they can't find trucks. They can't find trucks. They bid it too cheap. The traffic and this and that. And she goes, "It's so bad. It's so bad." I'm like, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God." Now, here's the thing. I walked away from this, and when that happened, I said, "Lord, I trust you in this. I don't know why you did this before I found out this." And then when I found out that, I was like, "Lord, you knew what you were doing. You took that job away from me. You protected me." And here's what happened out of that. I ended up going back. That guy calls me up and he says, after he ended up going one or two more jobs, and it's about 6 months or so later, first of last year, he calls me and says, "Hey, I've got another project and we're going to use you on." And at that point, I'm like, "I'm not going to hold my breath. We'll see what happens when we actually start running it." And, last year we ended up running probably well over $1 million worth of work for that guy. And the whole thing was, as I started thinking about it, if we would have done that job and we would have had all kinds of horrible service, I would not have gotten the work from last year. So you talk about God moving and shifting and shaping and doing. Amen. He does. He goes before us. He reroutes. Come on. And with a notion, let's go in this. You know, he reroutes, he takes away, he shuts doors, he opens doors. And the notion that God is just a God of peace and love, and that's all he is, just a big fluffy teddy bear. Read your Bible. I think about that, and I think about people, God is just love, and he's just a big ball of hope. And I mean, his hope. Okay, but talk to Ananias and Sapphira about feeling loved. Okay, lying to the Holy Spirit. Oh. You talk about taking away. He took away real quick. You look at Moses. You know, he takes away. God, he wasn't allowed into the Promised Land. There are consequences. His ways, and so many times we have our minds on the way we want things to go. And thank God, his ways aren't our ways. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Come on. His ways are greater than our ways. And so, yes, he does have to adjust. Yes, he does need to prune. And he does need to work on us. Amen? In their hearts, Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course. But the Lord establishes their steps. And that's a prayer that we've got to be praying. And Lord, I want your plan and your will in our lives. He moves us in directions. He guides us. He shifts. Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. He shifts us and he moves us around. Amen. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come to so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor from Jesus Christ is revealed. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You know, God does bring us into places and puts us in positions to learn and grow. And we do go through the fire. And we do go through storms. And there are things that trials and tribulations that we all face. And I love the story. I've shared it a gazillion times. But I think about those disciples in the boat in that storm. That storm was on was purpose. When those guys woke up freaking out, waking up Jesus there all freaking out, we're going to die, we're going to die. And Jesus is like, just peaceful. He says, oh, you little faith. And he calmed the storm. And what did the disciples say? Oh, my gosh, this guy can calm the storms. So because of that storm and because they were in it, God revealed himself that he can calm those storms, that he's there with you. Come on, amen. I think about that. I think about the learning through our trials and learning through our experiences that we have. I remember several years back, I was experiencing anxiety. I had never experienced anxiety in my life. But because of some of the medication I had gotten on, it royally messed me up. And I had never experienced this. And before, I kind of shook it off. And when people say, I've got anxiety, I have some anxiety problems, I kind of just shrugged it off like, read your Bible maybe, pray some more, okay? Not very compassionate in a sense. But because I went through that, and I experienced that, I know what it feels like to be in that moment, I got some compassion for that. Amen. I think about that, and I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't think they really were asking to go through that fire. But we really don't ask for go through fires. But my God, thank you, Lord, for putting us through the fires. Because he reveals himself, just like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Showing up and showing out. Storms will rage. Things will not go the way we expect because his ways aren't our ways. And I think about that going back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'd love to not go through the storms, but his ways aren't our ways. And he knows the things that need to get our attention. We walk through storms to discover he calms the storm. It's not always Satan. I mean, here's the thing. I messed up on my notes here. You know, the thing is we always try to pinpoint who's this coming from. And so many times we blame Satan when it ain't Satan. And we try to blame this or blame that. Is it God? Is it Satan? Or is it just life? One of the things that in my mind, if it's Satan, here's what he's going to be doing. He's going to be attacking you on your past failures. And he's going to be reminding you of those. And you know what we do when that happens? We just remind him of his future. Amen? Or it's just life. Life happens. You know what? Cars break down. It's not always Satan attacking us. You're going to have flat tires. Right? Guess what? We're going to get sick sometimes. Okay? We live in a fallen world. Okay, guess what? Our bodies do you slowly start? Okay? That's truth. All right? So how do we navigate all these the different things and the trials that are coming around? Whether blaming Satan, blaming this, or blaming that. Here's what I want to end this with. No matter what storm you're going through, no matter what situation that comes around, this has got to be the words that are coming out of your mouth. God, I trust you. I don't know why. I don't understand. But God, you do. We love to, again, I've heard it so many times growing up in church. Satan's attacking me. Or it's just you ate some pizza the night before and it's messing you up. Okay? But God, I trust you. I don't get it, but I trust you. I don't know why my hip gets jacked up sometimes, but I trust you. Amen. Romans 8:28. We know that all things, come on, work together for good to those who love God. So no matter what, guess what? God's going to turn it for good. Guess what? If it's just life, things are happening, guess what? God's still going to turn it for good. And guess what? When Satan is trying to hit you up, God's still going to turn it for good. Everything we do, so that's what we do. God, I trust you. No matter what the storm may look like, let's choose to say, God, I trust you. You're pruning. Show me what you want. Show me what I need to see. Show me what you want to show me. Guide me away from. Guide me to. Build my faith. God, I trust you. I trust your plan. You're all I desire. I'm telling you, the more we abide in him, and the more we stay connected with him, the more we find ourselves in those places where, God, I trust you. I don't understand, but I trust you. It's been a really beautiful journey over the last several weeks in what God has been doing in my life and even Danny's life. He came to me, and I've shared it already, but Danny came to me a couple weeks back and was like, hey, I think we should pray daily. And I'm like, well, that's a great idea. Let's pray. He says, no, I mean, like, let's sit down and let's pray. Okay, I'm game. Let's pray. Are you sure? I'm like, yeah. Why wouldn't I be? Let's pray. He says, okay. I kind of thought it might be a little awkward or weird. I don't know. I didn't know what to think. I said, well, the Lord laid it on your heart. Let's pray. Let's go, son. Let's pray. Dude, over the last several weeks, we've just been every single day, man, if we're on the road, we're going to call each other on the phone. Whether we're in the office, we'll stop and we'll pray. And man, you talk about just feeling more connected to the vine than ever before. God's so good. Man, when we're just seeking his face and staying connected, man, and when pruning time happens, God, I trust you. I don't understand. I trust you, though. I don't know why the jobs happen this way. I trust you, though, God. I don't know why so-and-so is acting this way, but I trust you, God. I don't know why I woke up this morning feeling this way, but I trust you, Lord. You're my healer. You're the author and finisher of my faith. God, I trust you. And that's why we've got to have that mindset. When we go through whatever circumstances, and it don't matter what's happening, Satan, life, or God. God, I trust you because he's going to show you and he's going to open doors and open your eyes to something. He's going to slow you down to save you from something. He's going to shut the doors. He's going to take away some jobs that you thought, right? He does take away and he does prune. He does adjust. He does guide. Amen? He prunes so we can bear fruit and we can be more effective in every way. We can have patience. Come on. We can love even more. We can hope even greater. Amen. Amen. That's it. That's what I got. Glory be to God. Anybody got any questions, comments?